This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director Alicia Graf Mack, plus five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org. Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Illinois Democrats are raising alarms over President Trump's threats to deploy the National Guard to Chicago. And meantime, Republicans in Illinois are using this moment to raise money. My colleague Mawa Iqbal reports the state GOP is calling this a September showdown. Above the donate button on its website, the party writes, "The left will spin this as Trump attacking Chicago. We know the truth. Trump is standing up for families." The party hopes to get 10,000 donors each to pony up between $5 and $2,500. In an email, the GOP says Mr. Trump is ready to mobilize troops in Chicago because Democrats are turning the city into a war zone. But the state's top Democrats condemn Trump's potential plans as a stunt designed to bring chaos and terror to the city. Meantime, people who have survived shootings in Chicago say President Trump's threats to send in troops will make the city less safe. Eric Wilkins was shot decades ago, and it happened on the city's south side. And since then, he has committed his life to violence prevention.
Trump is using all his tactics to tear the city apart when we're working from the grassroots to put it together. You know, we're not going to stand for it.
Wilkins and other leaders say what the city actually needs is more investment in community solutions for violence. Mr. Trump has cut that funding since he took office. Superstar cellist Yo-Yo Ma is appearing in concert tonight in Millennium Park in downtown Chicago, along with esteemed African vocalist Angelique Kidjo. My colleague Courtney Kippers reports Ma has a long-standing appreciation for Chicago, and in an interview yesterday, he said venues like Millennium Park are part of the reason this is a great city. His collaborator Kidjo said elsewhere, free events like this are sometimes relegated to subpar venues, and that's not the case here.
Place of beauty. Sometimes you have event happen in the city and they put in the theater and they say, okay, this is for the community. No, we are the Millennium Park. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's not a transaction. Our performance is not a transaction. It's a shared passion.
Tonight's event in Millennium Park is free. And the Chicago Sky have officially retired former star Candace Parker's jersey. The Sky last night hosted a celebration of the Naperville native, hoisting her number 3 jersey to the rafters. Parker played with the Sky for 2 seasons, helping them win the championship in 2021. And she says it was an honor to play for Chicago after 13 years in L.A.
Like, I went away, I grew, I saw, like, kind of what the world had to offer, but I, like, wanted to come back. And there is nothing like Chicago sports.
Despite the celebration, the Sky last night lost to the Las Vegas Aces. And up next, the Sky hit the road for a game against the Phoenix Mercury on Thursday. You're listening to The Rundown. Chicago area ER doctor Thayer Ahmad has seen a lot of pain and death, but he says he'll never recover from one of the first times he declared the death of a patient at Nasser Hospital in Gaza. A father carried in 3 daughters. Their house had been bombed in the middle of the night.
I remember the father basically asking us, you know, telling us, please, it's only been 5 minutes. I brought them right over. Do something. And you know, just looking at them, that there's nothing you can do.
Since he returned, Ahmad says he's been doing all he can to help stop children from dying. He and some Chicago area doctors are meeting with Illinois lawmakers, and they're sharing their experiences and prompt action to end the war in Gaza. My colleague Mariah Wolfel has more.
On a recent Friday morning, Ahmad is thinking about those patients and the doctors he worked with at Nasser Hospital as he sets up for a virtual meeting with Congresswoman Lauren Underwood. He checks her recent comments on the war, tests his microphone, and tempers his expectations.
I have no expectations. I think that the situation won't change as a result of these meetings, but there's like a tiny part of me that feels this sort of incredible survivor's guilt. Like, if I don't take this meeting, what else would I be doing?
Ahmad worked in the second largest hospital in Gaza in early 2024, a few months after the war began. He's tried to go back, but has been denied entry by the Israeli government. A UN-backed panel has declared a famine in Gaza. The bombs are still dropping, and these meetings with lawmakers feel more urgent than ever. His goal is to be clear, concise, and speak to Underwood about his experience on the ground.
She knew what the meeting is about. So to me, there's an openness there. There's a willingness to engage and discuss this a little bit. I think she's trying to actually inform herself to take a stance.
He signs on to the call with Underwood. She declined beforehand to allow a reporter to sit in, so I'm not allowed to be in the meeting, and I stop recording as it begins.
Hello.
Before I tell you how the meeting went, let me tell you what they're asking for. Ahmad and organizers with Jewish Voice for Peace Chicago want people to sign on to Illinois Congresswoman Delia Ramirez's Block the Bombs bill in the House. The measure would block the U.S. from sending bunker-busting bombs to Israel. Those are massive bombs that cause widespread destruction and have been used to bomb hospitals in Gaza. Here's Ramirez.
These are the bombs that we know, that we've seen the research and investigations that have in fact been used to kill people in Gaza that have violated international law, human rights law.
The bill has gained some traction with 37 co-sponsors, including top-ranking Illinois Democrat Jan Schakowsky. But as Ramirez notes, it is far shy of the support needed to pass.
I would lie to you if I told you that in this precise moment, I have the power to call this bill to the floor.
We recognize that the Democratic members of Congress don't have power at the moment.
That's Marty Levine, an organizer with Jewish Voice for Peace, who was on the call with Underwood, too. He argues that even if the bill won't come up for a vote anytime soon, it is still important for lawmakers, mayors, county commissioners, and congressional reps, whether in power or not, to speak up.
It's what I think the Jewish community in the 30s would have expected from more American leaders about what was happening in Nazi Germany, that more people would have been willing to put their reputations on the line to say, this is a horror that cannot be allowed to pass. And in moments of moral crisis, we're called to act and speak, not worrying about does it have an effect tomorrow, because we'll be there tomorrow to take the next step.
Five of the Chicago area's dozen House representatives have signed on to Ramirez's bill. Levine and Dr. Ahmad were hoping to make Underwood the sixth. She's a registered nurse and recently signed on to a letter calling for humanitarian aid in Gaza. Like Ahmad said, the very fact that she was willing to take the meeting seemed like a positive sign. But after the 30-minute conversation, the mood had changed.
Jesus. Wow, that's one of the worst, meetings I've been a part of.
That's Ahmad speaking to me after.
Zero sort of response, not even acknowledging any of the human toll that we're talking about, the tragedy, the scale of it. I mean, that was super cold. I think that was probably why they didn't want anybody to sit in on that or record that. I mean, that was by far one of the worst. I've had better meetings with really staunch pro-Israeli Republicans.
Levine says Underwood, quote, sat almost mute with no expression of concern when Ahmad described the death and destruction he witnessed firsthand. I spent weeks going back and forth with Underwood's office trying to get her version of what happened in the meeting. Yesterday, her office finally commented, saying Underwood told the group that she would be happy to look at the legislation. Levine and Ahmad say even though the meeting was incredibly discouraging, it felt like an outlier amid weeks of growing frustration with Israel by Illinois Democrats. Governor J.B. Pritzker endorsed the effort to block arms sales to Israel, saying it would send the right message that starvation is not okay. And Representative Robin Kelly, after meeting with the doctors, became the most recent Chicago area congressperson to join Ramirez's bill.
I think politicians, if they're good at one thing, they're good at sensing what direction the wind is blowing. And so I think that's probably why we're seeing more engagement from members of Congress.
Ahmad and 30 other U.S. healthcare workers hope to travel to Washington, D.C. next month to make their case to whoever else will listen. He's grateful more leaders are recognizing the starvation in Gaza, but he also wants to make sure they hear that the bombs are still dropping on hospitals and homes. During his meetings, Ahmad's been reading the dying will of a 10-year-old girl killed in an Israeli airstrike. He recited it for me after his meeting with Underwood.
My accessories should be shared between Rahaf, Sara, Judy, Lana, and Batul. My bead kits should go to Ahmed and Rahaf. My monthly allowance, 50 shekels.
At the end of the child's will, she implored her family not to yell at her 11-year-old brother Ahmed. But her brother had been killed too. Mariah Wolfel, WBEZ News.
Weather forecast, sunny skies and a high in the mid-70s today. Clear tonight, a low in the upper 50s. And Wednesday, much of the same, becoming cloudy with a high again in the mid-70s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.